WGN Traffic Central.
And the WGN Chicago Weather Center forecast. Skilling says cloudy tonight. Light snow or flurries moving in. A high of 27. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 15 degrees. Friday kicking off the weekend with cloudy skies, but light snow moving in Friday night with a high of 34. And Saturday, partly to mostly cloudy with a high of 30. Looking on to Sunday, only a high of 15 degrees and a chance for more snow, mainly in the south suburbs. 26 degrees at O'Hare, 27 at Midway, 25 along Chicago's lakefront. I'm Andrea Darlis in the WGN Radio Newsroom. These are the stories that matter on 720 WGN.
Wow, that guy's got upper respiratory issues. You know, it's cold and flu season, Michael. So you never know what's going to happen.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. The great Michael Steele is with us. You know him, you love him. He used to run the Republican Party when there was a Republican Party, and now he is he's got his own podcast, Man of Steel. You see him on the NBC, MSNBC, all of that jazz. All right, I got to ask you about North Korea. Because we can talk about Michael Cohen all we want, but we did that yesterday, and our own lawyer, the lawyer for this show, is Michael Cohen's lawyer. We got all the detail we could possibly need from yesterday because I watched my lawyer fall asleep 3 or 4 times during the testimony and still bill me for it, which I thought was really, even though he's with Michael Cohen, I'm getting the bill for it. I don't know how.
Right, exactly.
Here's the thing. North Korea, the summit did not turn out the way that it was supposed to turn out, and I wonder, what do you think happened there? And there was a story 2 days ago that there was a person who worked as a delegate to, part of this work group that was working with the North Koreans, and the North Koreans are very interested, according to this person, who was on CNN talking about this, in domestic politics and trending of the president's popularity. And you do wonder if what was going on domestically here over the last couple of days has anything to do with the fact that everything fell apart over in Hanoi. Your thoughts?
Oh, I think probably some, but not a lot. Look, I think for most purposes and understandings from North Koreans and by the North Koreans of this presidency and this president, that they know that he's malleable. That's why Kim Jong-un is sending him love letters every 6 months. It's stroking the ego, playing up to his narcissism and all of that. I think this thing fell apart for a number of reasons. A certain degree of lack of preparation in anticipation of what the meeting was going to be about. Two, and actually this is probably one, so the first thing I'd say was probably number two. The first thing would be the rush to do it. I don't think the American delegation was fully prepared to go in the way the president wanted them to go in, because I think the truth is better reflected by the comments that we've heard others make about the current status of the nuclear program in North Korea, whether it's from our national security team or from the State Department or from the Defense Department. Everybody knows that North Korea has no intentions of giving up its nuclear program. None. Zero. Right. It's not happening.
It's the only way they think they can still be North Korea.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
It's the wall on steroids to them.
It's the wall on steroids for them, exactly. And given the nature of their government, they have absolute and complete control over what that plays out like. So they know what their priorities are. They don't have an internal discussion about it. The chairman decides this is what he wants, and this is what they're going to do.
Right.
Meanwhile, sitting across the table from them is someone who does not read, does not get briefed, gets briefed, but does want to be briefed. And so he refuses the kind of briefings he needs, and so he's playing off his gut. Mm-hmm. So put yourself in that situation. If you're Kim Jong-un, who's mapping out a five-year long-term plan with all of the military and other forces aligned to do what you need to have done, and you're sitting across the table from someone who's not as prepared as you are, that creates the kind of imbalance that the U.S. officials did not want to go into this time. So I think that...
So was it on us or them? Was it on us or them that pulled it out, that canceled this thing early, do you think?
I think it was probably, you know, to be honest, I think it was Kim Jong-un. I think they got in there, and I think this is one of those situations where Trump's advisors, Pompeo, Secretary of State, and others, really controlled the nature of the discussion. So it didn't matter so much what the private meetings between Un and Trump were. It's what the meetings and the conversations were among the principals who were representing them. So I think when it was probably made very clear, no, we're not going this far and certainly no further.
All right.
There was nothing else to do.
All right. So then he's getting wheels up at like 2 o'clock. I happen to have been up last night because, you know, I just don't sleep anymore. Why? How can you?
Yeah, I know.
You know, in a situation like this, I was just so excited about our attorney. I was just going through my billing hours with the attorney, and I'm just going, now, what part of this was Michael Cohen? But I did see something like I started getting push notifications at 1 o'clock in the morning about the fact that, you know, that the talks had broken off in Hanoi and that everybody was getting, the president's getting on his airplane and Kim Jong-un is going to get on his train to go 35 miles an hour for another week-long trip up the coast, the Pacific coast. It's like, why are we taking this guy's here? He doesn't even have a plane. The guy doesn't even have a plane that he trusts to get him to Hanoi. So this,
that's why they went to Hanoi, because the planes they had can't go farther than that.
Right, exactly. And they decided not to take his plane because he thought the wing was going to fall off. I mean, this is what we're really dealing with. And you know, it's like a little banana republic with a nuclear weapon, with the most horrifying government, and not since the gulags and concentration camps of the 1940s have we seen an industrialized nation treat its populace like North Korea does, and like Kim Jong-un has continued on as his father and grandfather did. And that, to me, is reprehensible, that we sit and we give that guy the same place on the stage that our own president does. And I get that everybody was fighting about, this is a big deal, he's got the weapon and he's threatening us and we got to stop him from threatening, and at least the missile testing had stopped, and Japan is happy about that because they were flying over their heads and driving them nuts. I don't think anybody really had anticipated that he was going to do anything, because it would have been certain death for him too, and he likes his Johnny Walker Blue. We understand all that. Here's the problem, though. What the president did on his way out is, it just gets one of those things that gets your head spinning. Otto Warmbier, who of course is the young American who was there and imprisoned there for a year for ripping down a political sign. He was returned to the United States in a vegetative state, obviously after enduring malnutrition, perhaps some sort of drug overdose, and deformity of his feet. That's one of the pieces in this that has been reported, but doesn't really get focused on, that they had like taken a wrench to his foot to hobble him for the rest of his life. I mean, it was a horrifying thing they had done. And then the president says this.
Did Kim Jong-un tell you?
He felt badly about it. I did speak to him. He felt very badly. But he knew the case very well, but he knew it later. And, you know, you got a lot of people, a big country, a lot of people. And in those prisons and those camps, you have a lot of people. And some really bad things happened to Otto. Some really, really bad things.
Why are you on the call?
But he tells me that he didn't know about it. and I will take him at his word. Yes, ma'am, go ahead, please.
Why would he do that?
Because he's Donald Trump, and he doesn't know what else to do. He admires, he wants to be like Kim. It's as simple as that. The way he treated the American press on this trip is abhorrent. It's embarrassing. Locking them out of events because they did their job. They asked questions, which is what happens on these things. These trips are supposed to be able to showcase America's role in the world as a leader, not as some sycophantic puppy looking for approval from some two-bit, no-bit dictator, which is what Donald Trump likes to do. He admires these men. He wishes his power extended the way theirs does, because if it did, there would be no Mueller investigation. If it did, there would be no press corps to challenge him. And I think that was reflected in that response in so many ways. I believe him. Just take out Kim Jong-un and put in MBS, you know.
Yeah, or Vladimir Putin. But there's Solomon, no, right? There is no way.
Put these dictators in, put in Putin, just change the name. The soundbite is the same.
But there is no way, Michael, there is a 0.000% chance that Kim Jong-un didn't know about it. He was an American. He was holding an American hostage. There were hostage negotiators involved from day one when Warmbier was arrested.
Of course.
There's no way that got to his desk. There's no way he did not know how he was being treated or didn't go out of his way to protect him from that. And God knows what else was happening. And then they held him. You know, they refused to deal with us, because I think they were trying to get him better, you know? I mean, based on what they had done to him in the first couple of days.
He's insulted this man's family.
Yeah.
He slapped the grieving mother in the face.
I want to, for the loss of her son. I gotta stop. All I could think about when this was happening is, here is the President of the United States about to land in Washington from Hanoi. And I'm thinking, and it puts me in mind of those over 100 POWs that were released all simultaneously at the end of the Vietnam War from Hanoi.
Mm-hmm.
That flight of that aircraft that brought them back from Hanoi, landing in Hawaii originally, right? That's where it first came down, at Pearl Harbor, at Hickam Air Force Base. And the images of John McCain hobbling off that airplane. And if we just, in the history of American sacrifice in the Pacific and in Asia, and you think about the Korean War, you think about the Vietnam War, and now to have that image juxtaposed with a guy who said he doesn't even believe that John McCain is a war hero because he doesn't like guys who got shot down, and then apologizing for the communist dictator of North Korea for murdering an American citizen is beyond the pale for me.
And you expressed my sentiments 100%. And it is just one more testament among many testimonies about how this president views his job and his role. I think the Cohen hearings yesterday put in stark relief, for me at least, a profile of Donald Trump that should shudder everyone. And I thought it was most appropriate when Cohen, clearly fed up with the haranguing by Republicans, who not once mentioned Donald Trump in the context of what that hearing was about. But Cohen then looks at them and goes, "You are doing what I have done for the last 10 years, and that is protect Donald Trump. And look at where it's gotten me."
Yeah, right.
I thought that summed up the moment.
Yeah,
and
it sums up
this trip, and it sums up this presidency in a way that I think is beyond the pale.
Thank you, Michael. Michael Steele, not Michael
Thank
Cohen. I hope you never need our attorney, Michael Monaco. That's all I'm hoping. I hope I never need our attorney, Michael Monaco, but he's available to both of us.
I was going to say, I hope you don't either.
Yeah, you know better. All right, I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you, sir.
You got it. Take
all right,
care now.
There he goes, Michael Steele. who is, of course, Man of Steel. Man of Steel. It's bad. Sad when the announcer gets hurt like that.
By the way, Trump in some of these pictures I've seen, the sweatiest I've ever seen the man. It looks like the most humid place.
It is very humid.
Humid place,
yeah,
on the planet.
Humid in Hanoi.
Yes. Yeah. He and Kim Jong were sweating a little bit.
Honest to God, I thought he left early because he just didn't like the food. I was sort of thinking that that was it. It was like, I really do not like this.
What the hell is this?
I had a way that the little the noodles, are like, they look like worms.
Give me ketchup.
I was my initial thought. But no, but it all fell. It was just, I don't know why he would do what he would do. He doesn't have to do that. He could have just, even if he believes it, don't say it. Just don't say it. Even if you believe it. Even if you think, yeah, but Kim probably didn't know about it, which is not true. But even if you believe that, you go, hey, listen, you know, there were a lot of things on the table here, and yeah.
Or go full-blown presidential and put your foot down on the situation.
That would have been nice.
That would have been nice,
but
right?
He's not going to do that, but he thinks he's negotiating by doing that. He thinks he's sucking up to Kim Jong-un, and he's going to get a better deal out of him if he protects him on this. And I don't think that's how you deal with...
I think you want to buddy up with a dictator.
Right. He's representing the United States of America, not just himself as a negotiator. So, all right, let's check in now.